What's up, everybody? Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Manny, senior at Ukiah High.
Me, Fernando, a junior at Ukiah High.
Me, Anna, a freshman at Ukiah High.
And me, Sierra, a freshman also at Ukiah High. Today, our topic is the American dream, the idea that any American with enough resolve and determination can climb the economic ladder, regardless of where she starts in life. The American dream implies that the greatest economic rewards rightly go to society's most hardworking and deserved members. In high school literature classes, the theme of the American dream is explored through John Steinbeck's novel Of Mice and Men. Lenny and George want a world of independence, a little bit of land, and their own crops and animals. They want to be self-reliant. "Well," said George, "we'll have a big vegetable patch and a rabbit hutch and chickens. When it rains in the winter, we'll just say the hell with going to work, and we'll build up a fire in the stove and sit around it and listen to the rain coming down off the roof."
Does this sound familiar? This dream of independent, self-sufficient living has drawn people to our region for over a century, and is the inspiration of the Back to the Land movement that has continued here since the 1970s. A piece of land, a well, a cabin, chickens, some crops, and solar panels. This form of the American dream is widespread throughout rural America. But the majority of American dreamers are not living off the land. They are in cities and suburbs. They are working steady, paying the mortgage or rent, living in a complex system of credit card debt. If they are raising children, they want to keep them healthy and want them to have educational opportunities so they have economic security. Unfortunately, many young people get out of college already in debt, a unique debt that cannot be resolved by bankruptcy, and there has never been a guarantee that a college diploma gets one a job.
The meaning of the American dream has changed over the course of history. Today, a central theme of the dream is that anyone can achieve prosperity through hard work. The goal for many is upward mobility, the achievement of higher class status and a better neighborhood to live in. The hope that children can attain a higher income level remains an element of that dream. Our capitalist culture places a high value on material possessions, so class status is determined by our cars, our clothes, and our smartphones. The way our economic system works, we have many possessions that we are in debt for. The creation of credit cards 60 years ago has made it possible for one to have status items beyond one's means. Living in debt is another ingredient of the modern version of the dream, quite a change from what Steinbeck's characters yearned for. Many Americans would fade bankruptcy if they lost their jobs for 2 months, and that would mean a rapid instance of downward mobility. Tragically, this has happened to millions of Americans in the past decade. It should be noted that the most common cause of personal bankruptcy is medical bills.
Back on the positive side, many Americans are closer to fulfilling their dreams of economic independence. New opportunities continually emerge in our society. Many people run successful businesses online with greatly decreased expenses. In our region, the wine and cannabis industries continue to grow, and access to higher education locally has improved significantly in recent decades. One presidential candidate declared that the American dream was dead, but goes on to say that he will make America great again. The other candidate says that where a child grows up affects their prospects for upward mobility, and that the odds are improved where there are better elementary and high schools. So we are going to discuss the American dream for about 30 minutes. Then we will open the phone lines for your ideas. We want you to hear about some of us in high school, look at the possibilities for our futures, and we want to hear from you about your experiences pursuing the American dream. We want to hear your insights on how America has changed in your lifetime, and what strategies you can offer for our success. We are in the Willett studio, and the phone number will be 707-456-9991. We will open those lines in about 30 minutes. So let's begin by going around and each describing how we perceive the American dream.
I always thought for a person to risk everything they have, risking their time, risking their money, risking their family, even sometimes their sanity, going crazy to work and maintain a family and having everything that you could provide for them. Provide them with a roof to stay under, provide them with a roof, a meal every day. And having a job and having a good car and having all this materialistic things that people say makes your life so much better, but in all reality, all you need is yourself. You need happiness in yourself before you can find happiness in something else.
I think the American dream is less of a dream and more of a, not a false hope, but a hope placed in our minds by people way before us. And it's been warped and changed by time, and it's now more of a idea for power and money and success, and a lot of things that the American dream had are now unobtainable without sadness and depression and debt and all these things that make it so much harder for us to obtain our goals.
I think the American dream is more of a thing of trying to be successful at what you want to do and trying to get that power of mostly trying to get the most of the money and trying to become well known. And mostly people try to strive for that, but you won't really get that. And you might get everything that you want. You might think you have everything, but that you might not be able to fill your heart without that happiness. And the true kind of meaning of the American dream is to find that happiness and be successful in what you want to do. And without that, it's kind of, you can't really complete that dream.
We're pretty young, so we got a lot to see and a lot to learn. But I think that the American dream, in my perspective, it's not really a realistic thing. Because everyone has their own, idea and description of what their American dream is. But I feel like what it really should be is just kind of pushing yourself to your, to what you can do. And when you think you're happy, that's really what makes the dream possible, is to pursue happiness. Because obviously we're not going to always be happy, but if you feel, you've made it somewhere, you could feed your family, and, there's not a lot of negative things going on between a lot of people, then I feel like that's the American dream. That's my real description on it.
And there's so many hurdles trying to complete your American dream, like debts and everything that people have put in front of us. What do you guys think about, what would happen if those hurdles were taken away, or if there's even increased amount of hurdles in your way of trying to complete your dream?
I think maybe over the past few years there has been more hurdles with everything that's going on in our community, and even debt and education. I think personal hurdles is another thing that's really important. And the dream kind of changes from person to person. As Mandy said, it's all based on perspective and what you think. So I think not everyone has the same hurdles. And so the American dream can be harder for some people to achieve based on what access they have to resources.
And like you were saying, if they take away the hurdles and say there's no hurdles at all and there's no difficulty and you just get everything that you want like that so easily, I feel like you don't appreciate it as much, and I feel like you don't want it. The easiest things are the things that you don't want for some reason, because it's a given. And if it's so much harder, then no one wants to go out of their way to get something that they think is impossible.
I think with obstacles, it kind of makes you a stronger person. Because if it's just an easy route, you're gonna feel, if you get to wherever you want to be with no struggles, was it really something like you're looking forward to, Because if you have those struggles to look back on, you're like, wow, I went through a lot of different things, difficult times to get to where I am right now, So I know that does, that's a real thing, struggles and being somewhere later on. But I don't necessarily think it's a dream, because it's possible, but you can't be just dreaming it. You can't just think about it. You have to actually go out there and keep pushing and just keep trying to find somewhere to stop for a little bit if there's, negative things going on. But you got to still find it in your heart or in your mind to just keep going and trying to get to the next step.
Yeah, and I feel like those hurdles, it's kind of like a way for you to kind of help learn from your mistakes on the way of trying to complete your dream, and kind of a learning thing that you can learn from. And if those hurdles are taken away, yeah, you don't really appreciate that dream that you finally get at the end, because you have nothing that you had to work for to get it. It's kind of like, oh, I got here, now what do I do? And it's kind of give up on that dream, and then you don't really have anything else to strive for. However, if you do have the hurdles, it's more of you have stuff that you can appreciate that you were able to complete on your way to get that dream. Then you're just kind of more appreciative because you're like, oh, I did complete these hurdles, and you feel good about yourself, so you want to keep striving for that dream.
I think to give an example for that would be, in America, we have a lot of privileges that are built into our Constitution that we don't think about every day because it's something that's always been there, and we didn't have to work for it. People way before us, our ancestors, had to work for that and fight for that, but we didn't, and so it's kind of a given for us, and we don't appreciate it. But I think the American dream is almost more present in people's lives who don't live in America, who maybe live in a third world country where they don't have opportunity, they don't have money, they don't have necessarily even a good life. They may be facing war and constant hurdles. And so when they think of the American dream, they think of all the things that we have, but we just don't appreciate that much because it's something we've always had.
And like you saying, from people from out of here, from out of America, coming here from Mexico, Canada, out of the country, from different places, looking for something, risking everything, just to have a chance to have something, have anything in America, have a little bit of the American dream.
Well, I don't know, man. There's a lot of different definitions for what it is, you know, but I can't really like say that there's a real American dream. That's what I think. You can do a lot of things, and I hope everybody listening and everyone in the world, you know, does what they love to do. But there's not really, I mean, like you guys are, I'm not saying you're wrong or you're right, but like, you're saying maybe America has better opportunities than other countries, but what do we really have? Like, can you guys give an example of what we have that they might not have? To where it's like, you know, we all have the same opportunities, but not all of us kind of, you know, use them, like you said.
I think a type of hurdle that we have everywhere in the world is race and gender, and I think some of the laws that we have here, such as like homosexuality, is allowed everywhere, and it's a lot of countries don't have that, and that can be really scary for people who are part of that community, and they don't have the safety that we have here. And so maybe part of their American dream, or just their dream in general, is to be safe, so they see America as like a place where they can have that.
When I know a lot of immigrants that do come to America, a lot of them are seeking a better life because of what you mentioned, Anna. And also, a lot of people in those third world countries, they might not have as good of the opportunities, maybe job-wise, or that we have here in the Americas. And I feel like people who come over here, they are more searching for those better jobs and that safety, and to help provide for their families, where back where they're from, it's harder to do that.
Well, I feel like people are looking for a constant flow of shelter, a constant flow of love, of something. And just having the idea that something's always going to be there, and having hope in coming here to America, or being here in America and building something off of nothing, and knowing that you still have something to fall back on.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I mean, there's fear everywhere, you know? Wherever you go, there's going to be some sort of fear feeling that you're kind of scared. So I feel like everybody can do what they want. Anyone can do it. But you just got to do it yourself and just try not to ask for help. Don't try to get help, you know. I mean, there's times where, you know, there's a difference between help as in, like, you know, advice or there's a difference between, you know, getting advice, and but then there's like trying to reach somewhere or do something. You have to do it yourself, you know, because not everybody is the same. You have your own mind, you know, you got to do it yourself and push your ideas up.
What do you guys think makes the American dream American? Like, why was it named that? Why is it a labeled dream?
Well, I mean, a lot of people probably saw America as somewhere great. So, you know, when people were immigrating here, they thought this was the land to do whatever you want. There was more possibilities of doing things and living better. But that obviously has changed, you know. But there's always been difficulties, you know, here and everywhere.
Well, because of people come into America, it's more... A lot of people were basing that dream and those opportunities saying they're mostly America. So I feel like as more and more people came to America, as more people developed that thought process that America is a great nation and that most of the opportunities, most of them can come from the America, and you can get more opportunities when you do come here. So I feel like just the more people who have thought that and the more people who have came, just that dream has just had that label of the American dream, because that's where it was mostly based off of.
I mean, like that, how we were saying earlier with immigration, the people came here during like the 1980s, 1990s, and coming on boats, like the Irish, and they were just here coming to work in factories, for trains, for railroads, building railroads, the steel beams that Carnegie designed for his bridge that he first made. And that was unheard of. He had built one of the largest bridges out of steel, a material that no one had faith in, that it was never tested. And it was just a chance. He took a chance because he needed the money. He needed to find a way to get around his competition. And that's part of the American dream, finding a way, finding your own way around everything else, around all the big corporations, around all the money driven.
Do you guys think like people around you affect you and getting somewhere?
I think environment is a huge role in any sort of dream. What you have, what you're surrounded by, what you're influenced by can really shape your thoughts and shape your ideas growing up, and it might be hard to grow out of old habits and ideas that you've been thinking about for a long time.
Well, a lot of parents are also like influential, especially when they're to the younger kids, because they're saying, oh, you can get, and if you really strive for something, you can work, or you can get that thing, and whether it's to be maybe an astronaut or to be in Olympics, they tell you to strive for that, and they kind of over-exaggerate the dream to their children and kind of tell them you can do whatever you want when you grow up, when really that's hard to be the case because of all the hurdles in the way. So, yeah.
But, I mean, I think your parents are your first inspiration. They're the first ones to push you and give you an idea of what you want. And through the years, as you grow and you learn all the difficulties of life, you slowly learn what you want and what you will become and how to get there. And it's just that one little push that gets it started, like a snowball, pushing it down a hill, and it slowly gets bigger and bigger collecting.
Mm-hmm. So do you guys think like parents should be a little more careful about how they put this into your head? Or should they just, you know, keep doing what they're doing?
Well, I feel like they should be a little bit more careful, because if they do say that, and a child, when they get older and older, they try to strive for that, but they never are able to complete it, I feel like it just kind of makes the child not as motivated, and they kind of give up after a while. So when the parents do overextend the dream, it's kind of makes it to where if the child does or does not do well in that thing that they want to do, whether it is becoming a very successful Olympian or becoming an astronaut or whatever it is, it makes it to where the child doesn't really have that strive afterwards.
Yeah, I think parents should just be careful of what they let their kids, you know, think about. You don't want to tell them, like, oh, you're going to be this and that, and this is how you're going to make your money, and this is how you're going to make your living, because in reality, that's probably not what's going to happen. So I think you have to be realistic and tell them, like, you know, this is how our society works, and this is what you should be thinking about, and how you're going to work through these hurdles to make sure that you can live a good life and a happy life. But, you know, you shouldn't discourage their dreams, because people need dreams to...
Yeah, and if you do discourage their dream, or that you try to, like, discourage them, saying, oh, you can never do this, that's impossible, then it kind of makes them so where they don't want to strive. And when they're in school or they're doing their normal life, they don't really have that strive to do well, and they don't really have that strive to complete that dream.
I always thought with parents telling you, you can be this, you can be that, it's just someone giving the kid pressure, because they think, oh, I have to be that. Sometimes kids think that, like, oh, I have to be that because I want to make my parents proud. And sometimes even just the thought of that, like, you feel like you're going to be a failure, and so much pressure on you, even though they never told you that. Like, they never told you had to be this or you had to be that. They're just giving you a push. And sometimes it's just a scary thing that some kids take it in such a different way and some kids take it in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have, like, a lot of respect for all parents, you know what I mean? They're doing their thing. They're working hard, trying to, you know, help and provide for their families. But I feel like what parents do a lot is, like, they push their kids, you know. And sometimes parents don't really know what's right. You know, so there's kids who have... interests, and the parents might push them and say, oh no, that's not something you want to do, you know, because that's a bad thing, or you won't get anywhere with that, you know. From personal experiences, like, I see that a lot, you know. It's like, oh, you're wasting money on things that, you know, that are useless, or, you know, you have hobbies that maybe that are interesting to you, but, like, parents say, you know, what's so fascinating about it, you know, and they might not understand. So what do you guys think? Like, do you guys have, like, personally, have you ever seen that?
I mean, personally, yeah, you always see that around. There's always people doubting you. There's always people shutting you down. They always think that you can't do this, you can't do that, because they've never seen it before. A lot of times because people get their dreams shot down, subconsciously they start shutting other people's dreams down. They say, you can't do that. They say, you can't do that because I couldn't do that. And they think to themselves, I couldn't do what you want to do, and if I can't do it, you can't do it. And sometimes it's just they know that you can't do it, or they know it's going to be hard, and sometimes people just don't explain it to you right, and they need to take the time and tell you it's not that you can do it, it's just it's super hard, and you need to understand that all these trials and all these hurdles that we were talking about earlier are there, and they're real, and you have to be careful, and you can't invest all of your time and this one thing that you aren't sure if it's going to succeed or not. But sometimes you have to take the risk.
Well, a lot of people do downgrade you on your dreams if you do have this dream and you say what it is. Some people do. If they think it's not possible, they'll try to downgrade you and tell you you can't do it. But I feel like for people who have that happen, they just need to have that strive to be able to have that dream, or else they can't really get through those hurdles. Because when people try to downgrade your dream or try to downgrade you, that's one of the hurdles in life that you have to try to find a way around to get to your dream. So I feel like if they can't get around that hurdle, then I feel like their strive for their dream isn't really that strong. It's something that they really don't want to complete as much.
Could those people, like, putting you down be sort of a motivation for somebody?
It could for some people might take it that way, think, oh, this is just a motivation for me to be able to complete my dream. But some people think that, oh, these people are downgrading me, maybe they're right. And like you guys have been saying, the people who downgrade you, they might try to downgrade other people's dreams just because their dreams haven't succeeded or because their dreams have also got brought down by other people. So I feel like it could be used as a motivation for you to try to strive more to your dream.
And I mean, look at the people who have succeeded in life and what they had to go through before they were successful. Walt Disney, Steve Jobs, et cetera, all those people, they had to go through some kind of trouble. They had to go through some kind of heartache. And before they were famous and before they had all this fame and money and unnecessary richness, they had this moment of doubt in themselves and that they knew or they thought to themselves they couldn't do it. But for some reason, they had this one little hope, this one little dream that they could do something with their life. They could do something with their company. They could do something with what they truly wanted to do, because from the beginning, they had a vision.
So what do you guys think about, like, education? Do kids who have better opportunities tend to succeed more than kids who don't?
I think it definitely could help if maybe you went to, like, a college prep high school or like a nice college. I guess it depends on your mindset, but it really kind of matters how you take education into your own hands. Are you going to do that extra credit and make sure that you raise up your grade just that much more? Or are you going to slack off and not do your work? It's really how you are able to take it and use your whatever tools that you have, no matter how small they are or how much they may be worth.
And it's also just taking your education in your own hand. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to take that harder? Do you want to take the harder class, or do you want to take the easy way out and take pre-algebra or introduction to English? What do you want to do? Do you want to be in the harder class? It's just taking your education in your own hand and having a voice in it, and not just sitting back and not doing the bare minimum, just getting by and barely learning anything. But I feel like that's what schools are doing now. They're lowering standards. They're lowering test passing grades just to get kids by the No Child Left Behind Act. Like, it's okay, it's good, it's great to get kids by, to get them to the next level and help them out in any way possible, but by doing that, we're lowering our standards, we're lowering our IQ for the nation.
I do. I feel like education does provide a lot of opportunities, and I feel like if you do slack off, then it will come back in the future and you'll have a harder time trying to keep up with all the stuff that you might have in later in your life. And I do feel like if you don't try to complete those extra steps in school and try to do your best, then it really does affect how successful you are later in life. And there are kids that take the easier route, and then there's some kids who do strive to do the best they can in school. And like Fernando said, a lot of kids, or we are as a whole nation, we are for our school trying to get every kid by, we are lowering our standards in IQ. So it kind of affects our later generation, because our later generation might not have that strive as much as our previous generations because our standards have been put low.
I think people, in general, anybody, we all have, you know, like this sort of connection, you know, with each other. We can learn a lot from just talking to people. You know, we don't really need to go to school to learn something, because I've actually met a lot of people who aren't even interested in going to school. You know, they go because they have to, but it's not necessarily because they want to learn something that the teachers are teaching. But outside of school, you know, they're really great in different things, like art. There is art class, but sometimes, like me personally, I have art class and I hardly do the homework for art class, but I like to draw on my own time. Because I feel like once you're pushed and you have a due date on something, sometimes it's good, you know, because you have something to like fall, like, all right, I have this amount of days to do it. But sometimes when, you know, when there's a due date, it's like you're pressured more to do it instead of wanting to do it.
That's true. I mean, for my English class, I have Mr. McClanahan. He's a really great teacher.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, shout out to Mr. McClanahan. And he's teaching us how to be recursive writers other than deadline writers, and thinking about what we're writing and thinking before we turn it in instead of doing it the night before. And that's the good thing about due dates. That's the good thing about classes. It pushes you. It pushes you into thinking and organizing your time for each class and organizing your mind and not just the work that you're doing. Because you have to balance school. You have to balance work if you have a job. You have to balance family and a significant other. Not just it. And then after so long, it's not just yourself. It's a bunch of outside things coming onto you and pressuring you to be organized and focused. And then having that strive to not give up.
Well, I feel like some of the due dates, for some people it might help them, but for some people it might not, because some people, there are kids who do wait till the last minute for their due date, and they don't really try to organize their time well, and it doesn't really help them or help them become more organized. However, for some students, it is, like you said, it gets them more organized, trying to balance family life and school and outside extracurricular activities all into one thing, so you can complete the thing you need to do by that due date. It just depends on your perspective and on the perspective of the kid.
I think also school is another thing that we've kind of gotten used to and has become less of a privilege and more of a given. Just something we have to do, a given. Except for college, but we're all really pressured as students to go to college, even though a lot of us don't have the things that we need to be able to do that. I think people should put a lot less pressure on it, because not a lot of us can reach that goal. And college used to be more of a doorway, and now it's more of a hurdle than it was before.
Yeah, because a lot of people, when they do come out of college, they have these, like, $20,000 to $80,000 in debt, and so it's hard for them to get out of it, and it's almost impossible because you have that the rest of your life, and there's something that's really hard to complete.
I feel like it's like a social norm, you know, like, right after high school, you're supposed to go to keep going into school, when really that might not be the answer for everybody. You know, because some of us don't even like high school, mm-hmm. you know, but some people do like going to school and learning, you know, which is cool either way, you know, as long as the person knows that they're good at something, because everybody's good at something. Even if you haven't found it yet, I feel like, you know, somebody, you have to be good at something. You're not just put here for no reason. And there's a lot of different things you can do besides, you know, going to school to feel like you've done something, you know, you're somebody.
Well, with the American dream, how it was in the past and how it is now, how do you think the American dream has evolved from our ancestors to now in modern time?
I mean, I think that the American dream, the term, I feel like it changes constantly. But what probably doesn't change is, like we've been talking about, is the obstacles, you know? There's always fear. There's always that thought of failure. But I feel like that has to be there in order to actually, if there's no struggle, there can't be a dream, you know? If there's nothing to, like, make you want to do something better, then how are you gonna succeed? There has to be some of, like, you know, barriers that you have to get past somehow.
All right, well, what about the people that who haven't succeeded, like, at all, and just failed completely and then gave up, like the homeless? I mean, some of the homeless, not every single.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like it's just the person themselves, you know, because I see it a lot, especially, you know, in Ukiah, there's a lot of that, you know, in Ukiah. But I've heard from several different people different things, you know, because I've heard people say, oh, they're just lazy, they don't want to get a job. There's other people like, oh, maybe they don't have those opportunities, because we really don't know their background, you know, we don't know what they had to go through. So what really makes them, you know, become homeless, or, you know, we don't know, only them. So it's really, you know, it's your own, it's it's yourself who makes you who you are. So it's like, I mean, of course, people have an effect on you, but you know, you deep inside, you're the one that's supposed to know, what do I want to do? You know, you should never let somebody else say, you know, you should do this, because you know, I'm pretty sure you guys have heard, hey, you're pretty good at this, you should do that. But it's like, yeah, and you take it in mind, but are you really doing it? No, because it might not be something you really like to do.
Well, yeah, and it's not just Ukiah that has so much of those homeless people. It's more all over the world, and mm-hmm. you see a lot more of that now as we get more and more into the future. And so I feel like it's not so much that they're lazy and that they just don't want to do it and they just don't want to work or anything like that. It's more of they just don't have those opportunities the same that other people do that are way more successful, like Walt Disney and Donald Trump and all these other people. And so I feel like just mostly the homeless people, it's just getting more and more of them in the future. And so I feel like there's just, when we get into the future, there's just going to be so much less opportunities than there are now.
I think if you become homeless and, you know, you don't get the same opportunities, and it's really hard to get a job because you don't have anything else. And when you get an income, then you're going to have to pay taxes and do all that stuff. But you can't. You're really just trying to survive. So I think once you get into that cycle, it's really hard to get out of that cycle.
I feel like the American dream is just like this view that everyone sees as living like perfect. And really, you can't live perfect, obviously. You know, there has to be, you just got to do what you love to do, I feel like, in order to succeed. You know, there's not really there's no boundaries. You know, if you think education works for you, do it. You know, if more like going to college, or, you know, keep that going, do it. But there's a lot of different ways that, you know, succeed. You just got to find out which way works for you.
And I think for the rich versus the poor, when we're born, we're not all born equal. We're not all born with the same opportunities, because we're all born into different families with different circumstances. So we don't all get the same opportunities. And I think the American dream is more about creating opportunities for you to become the happiest person you could be, no matter what the circumstances. And it's more about being happy, not about having a job or having a lot of money. It's more about what makes you happy, whether that be family or something totally random. It could be whatever.
Well, that's kind of the thing that hasn't really changed throughout the years in the American dream, is a lot of people still, they think the American dream is to find that happiness and try to find that perfect family and have that perfect life, where back then it was that kind of same thing, where they wanted their own space and they wanted to find that happiness. So I feel like that one thing in the American dream and the view of it hasn't really changed throughout the years. I mean, the way we say it might change, but the perspective on it hasn't really changed, in my opinion.
And like saying the rich versus the poor, and how the rich can be so narcissistic and just focus on the money and focus on getting everything else, focusing on what? Taking everything from everybody else, or getting that little bit extra from wherever they can. And how much nicer homeless people can be compared to them. And then also in reverse, how angry homeless people can be because of the situation they're in. And then how nice rich people can be just because they're in that situation, because they know the struggles and they know what it's like to be in that type of situation. So they want to give back as much as they can.
How do you guys think, like, drugs kind of affects what happens to your future self?
Well, I feel like when you do get involved with those world of drugs and everything, it kind of makes you to where you don't really care more of your future, and you don't really have that strive. You kind of start as you get more and more into it, you start to rely more on those things, and you don't really start to rely more still on school and jobs, stuff like that. You're more just wanting to focus on that and stay in that world. So it kind of makes a whole bunch more people not have that strive, and makes more people more kind of careless, and more they don't want to really have that strive to complete that dream, and they don't really have that dream in the first place. It's more wanting to stay in that kind of world and environment of drugs.
Yeah, I think drugs are definitely a portal, and portals can be good or bad, but I personally think any portal can suck you in and you can get stuck there. So it just depends on how you view it, but drugs are definitely a pathway to maybe not getting exactly where you want to be.
Alright, well, we're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call. Please call in if you have any questions or insights about the American Dream. How would you define the American Dream? Has your view of it changed during your life? Are you currently living your version of the American Dream? Did you have goals and achieve them? Or was there a sudden event that improved the course of your life?
How has your education improved your life? And if you went to college, are you working in the field that you studied? If not, are you still grateful for higher education? Do you think that trying to be self-sufficient in a rural setting is a reasonable goal in the 21st century? Have land prices made this unlikely?
If you have adult children, have they done better economically than you did? If you have young children, do you want your children to achieve upward mobility? How will you help this happen? Have credit cards changed the class structure of our society? Is debt an inevitable part of modern living?
The phone number is 707-456-9991. And when you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion on the American Dream. We'd really like to hear from you.
And then, well, I mean, talking from the a part of the drugs, I mean, some drugs like are not just like meth or heroin. There's also prescription drugs made by the government or just made by just whoever, I don't know, that are specifically made for you and make you dependent more than a different solution to what you have. You have all these prescription drugs that are given for you and meant for you. And in all reality, sometimes they don't even help you. They just slightly change it into something else. And then you have to take a different drug for that. And now you have to pay for two types of drugs to fix your problem. And then you get another problem off the second drug. So now you have three drugs that you're paying for just to fix one problem that could have been originally solved by something else, by an alternative.
I think only...
Caller, you're on the air.
All right. This is a porn west of Ukiah, and you said something about owing money. And you said, is it inevitable, was your question. And I would say it's ubiquitous, but not inevitable. Dead.
So why do you think it is?
Now let's depend on your point of view. So for a lot of people, it's because they're going to make money. For other people, it's because it's going to hopefully enable them to reach their dream with a little bit of somebody else's help.
Mm-hmm. I mean, building off the...
For others, it's a conspiracy to control the planet.
Mm-hmm. I can see where you're coming from that when you say that. I mean, a lot of people always have that mindset that the government has set all these regulations just so you can't have a good living. It's just so the people already living good can keep living good off the people who are struggling.
Well, may it be ever all the more by the year that people all over the planet have a good living. All right, I'll speak to you again.
See ya.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. All right. This is Big Nico out in Ukiah. And you kids are doing such a good job. You got a lot of insight into a lot of really heavy-duty things. And, so it's really nice to hear you on the radio. I want to tell you that I know that the American dream is still alive. I mean, we're all living it right now. Sometimes it's easy, especially in small towns, to see some of the smaller all-news media type of aspects of things. But American dream has this whole idea about these obstacles, about not being afraid of these obstacles, and being courageous to set out across the pioneering lands and make these answers to the problems that we're all talking about right now. It's kind of addicting right now. It's real easy to talk about all the problems and stuff, but the exciting part is in the solutions that we can create available for us. And so especially high school age kids, it's time for us to really start coming with solutions and realizing that the American dream is still alive. We can have it. We can be successful in all the ways that we want to. And that's pretty much everything. So good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So do you guys think, coming from like such a small town where we're from, do you think that really like makes kids like our age, you know, kind of doubt and just say the American dream doesn't exist?
I think that could definitely be a possibility. I know that a lot of people that live in Ukiah don't really get to leave Ukiah, and so they don't see a lot of other perspectives on the world.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I've just been listening to your conversation and enjoying it, and I'd just like to say that my impression of the American dream is really about the exploitation of the earth, and if we all want to live the American dream, then that means 99% of the people on earth have to live poor, and I don't think that's right. So that's just my input. Thank you.
I mean, building off what she said, it was like, do we all have to look for? Like, can we, should we? How do you guys see it?
I mean, over the past, what, maybe 20, 30, 40 years?
Do you think there's a way to lessen the impact that America has on the rest of the world? Or is that really a goal? Is it really quite as bad as she presented?
I mean, I don't know. Like, as a high school student, I've never thought of that. Like, how can America... Like, how are you saying? Like, how can we stay out of other people's business? Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, it's not too hard to make an argument that we dominate a lot of other cultures on the planet. Yeah. But, I mean, not that you guys have done any of it. Okay, but the opportunity for you to do it is coming up. Yeah. But you know, it's a worthwhile point.
Caller, are you on the air?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the conversation. Thank you for such a great show.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And what I was going to say really ties into what you guys just talked about and what the previous caller said, but. There's a book out there, I believe it's called Harvest of Empire, and it was a movie as well, a documentary style made by the gentleman Juan from Democracy Now. I forget his last name, but it's a fascinating... Yeah, Juan Gonzalez, that's it. It's pretty fascinating to see how the American dream that we are all living and enjoying right now is predicated upon by the exploitation of the planet, the resources, and other people. And it just makes me wonder, you know, I've only grown up in the United States. I'm not an immigrant, though my grandparents were. But it makes me wonder, you know, what the dreams of these other cultures in South America, in Latin America, and Africa were before they were exploited, and how their cultural dreams, their collective dream, And that's, I think, what we're talking about when we talk about the American dream is a collective dream that we're all striving towards. It just makes me wonder, you know, what the cultures were like before they were exploited and how their dreams may have been shattered. And just the same, maybe it's appropriate to keep our collective dream moving forward and keeping it appropriate, striving for peace and sustainability and equity for everybody. So thank you.
Thank you.
So what do you think we can do, or like as a people, as a culture, to help get world peace?
I think we all just gotta like just share ideas and just kind of bounce off each other, you know? Because, like, I don't know, because, like the last caller, he was saying, you know, we all have this this dream, you know, but how could we all have this dream and then only a certain amount of people can actually, like, do it, you know? So, like you were saying, like immigration, you know, when people were pushed back out or, you know, they weren't allowed into the States, you know? How do you think they felt? What if that was really, that's it? That was their dream, just to come here and then start a branch of people who, you know, lead their name.
I think it's really important to have communication. I know whenever I've played sports or in school, people always say communication is key. Because if you don't talk to other people and you don't share ideas, then you don't know what other people are thinking and you can't get these ideas across. And it's really hard to build a community on a foundation that doesn't have communication.
Yeah, I feel like if we do share that communication, then we can better our situation. We can better the more people completing the American dream and more people having that able to get that dream instead of some people not being able to get that dream at all because of the opportunities they might not have. But I just feel like, yeah, if we do share that communication, we do communicate kind of like how we have to, like Anaya said, on sports teams for school or even in certain jobs that we have, that if we share that communication, then there's more likely that more people have that opportunities to complete that American dream.
And do you think that the American dream means the United States dream, or does it mean America? Because America is this entire continent. So, you know, that we've divided up into Canada, the North American, Canada, the United States, and Mexico. Why is there such a division between those countries, especially between Mexico and the United States?
I think when the American dream first formulated, the United States was really thriving economically, and everyone looked at the American society and the United States as like a role model for how they wanted to be. But I think now it's less of that. And so I think the American dream was an older name for our thriving community back then.
I feel like it was more general for all the continents than the American dream, but I feel like over the years, the U.S. itself has become more that role model. So I feel like when people think of the American dream, they think more of the United States because of that, of the United States becoming that role model for that dream.
Yeah, definitely. Like, the United States has always had an influence, like, for everyone. Like an outside influence has everybody looked at the United States and said, oh, we can go there, we can start a new life, we can have something there, we can start over.
Well, like, because I mean, what pushed people from other countries to come here, you know? They didn't want to just come for no reason. They saw that there was probably better possibilities, you know, in a different place, and they wanted to see what they can do.
Well, in my family's immigration, it had to do with being, you know, treated terribly in the countries that they had lived in, Ireland and Jews in Russia. And they just wanted to get out. They'd take anything. They'd go across an ocean in a dinghy, you know, because they weren't coming across on airplanes. They were coming across on funky boats, kind of like, you know, people are going across the Mediterranean. They just wanted to get out because the Irish were being starved and the Jews were being killed. So I think it's probably true for those of us that are immigrant families, but some of us are Native American families, right? I mean, I'd say a lot of your roots are native to the American continent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't go anywhere. You didn't come in, really, which is one of the things that's so crazy about all the pressure on, quote, Mexicans coming into North America, since you guys were here before any of us Europeans came in, you know, straight up. Let's see. We don't really have. Well, maybe we have enough time for one more call here. Caller, you're on the air. Quickly.
Call. Hi there.
What's up?
So, I heard something really wise from which was, I was thinking that relanguaging, you know, the American dream is part of our chauvinism as Americans, and then thinking of it as the U.S. or South America, why limit it to this world, to this side? It's a universal dream, and then if we could relanguage it to from the American dream to our thriving communities, I think that would really help to increase the beauty and sharing on the planet. Thanks for the
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right, well, that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Fernando, a junior at Ukiah High School.
Me, Manny, a senior at Ukiah High.
Me, Anna, a freshman at Ukiah High.
And me, Sierra, also a freshman at Ukiah High.
We want to thank Matt Lefevre and Gordon Oslin for assistance in organizing this show.
Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our environmental prevention strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Through our organization and collision, we are working towards reducing the youth's substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email JMA at jamashields@pacific.net. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by email at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio.
The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 5 weeks. That is November 6th at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in November.